You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, April 22nd, 2009. This is episode 68, Spending a Smarter Summer. It's time again for the Wells Tech Podcast. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. A conversation that happens every week where we look at the intersection between ministry and technology. Joining us, as usual, my sidekick, Sally Draper from, I guess, sunny, sleepy eye, Minnesota. Sally?
Good morning, Martin. Yeah, I think I can rub it in this morning.
Yeah, you were bragging about how you were going to be close to Mississippi temperatures later in the week.
That's right. We got looking for an 85-degree day coming up on Thursday. Yikes. Very excited about that.
That doesn't happen too often where you're neck and neck with Mississippi.
Nope.
And we've got a beautiful spring day here in Wisconsin. Nice snow cover on the ground. Beautiful. Right, Gail?
Yes, we do. 2 days we've been having snow, but at least it isn't 2 feet. And at least I'm leaving for Texas on Thursday.
Oh, I have no such luck. I don't get the 85 degrees or Texas. So that was the lovely voice of Gail Potratz from New London, Wisconsin, our semi-regular classroom technology correspondent. Good to have you back on, Gail.
Thank you.
We are going to talk, speaking of temperatures, about summer learning. It may seem a little bit odd to be talking about that at this point, but it's probably a great time to begin thinking about how you're going to spend your summer. And those of us in ministry and those of us that need to make technology work within the confines of ministry or for ministry purposes, it's a great learning experience to try and plot your course over the course of the next 3 months or starting in June or whenever school's out for a lot of our teachers, as to how you're going to use that. And there's so many opportunities online and otherwise that we felt, you know, maybe a little conversation about all those opportunities and maybe some guidance as far as, you know, the good and the cheap, which is always good, and something that might be beneficial that'll help you out in your church or school.
You know, Martin, just real quick, first impressions as I was researching this topic, I was reminded of just a few years ago when I wanted to take a course from Martin Luther College, and I actually got videotapes in the mail and sat and watched videotapes of the professor giving his lecture and filled out, you know, a million pages of paper and mailed them in for review and that kind of thing. And now MLC, Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, WLC, they all have offerings online. So, you know, just leaps and bounds that we've progressed in just a very short amount of time. And not just our colleges, like you said, there's plenty of extracurricular type learning opportunities out on the web that we can all take advantage of.
And Gail, you are actually teaching one of those classes, Martin Luther College, our pastor and teacher training school in New Ulm, Minnesota, has extension, well, I guess I could call it extension courses, right?
Right. The one I'm involved with isn't an online course, but every summer groups of people from certain areas get together, and if they can gather enough people, then MLC provides an instructor for that group. The one I'm involved with this summer is technology and from the administrator's angle. So I'll be working with a group of principals in Watertown area and greatly looking forward to that.
So what kind of things do you talk about in that class? Just kind of integrating curriculum with technology or?
Right.
Okay.
Right. What they should do with this whole thing called technology in their school, really from creating the plan, the technology plan, deciding what the, after you get the plan, then your next logical thing is to develop a curriculum. Mm-hmm. And, you know, talk about how you're going to implement that and then how you're going to assess your results. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's plenty of things to talk about. And this year it's going to be fun because I'm going to introduce them to Google Docs so they can do their homework at home. We won't have to be actually in the place, hopefully, for, you know, 8 hours a day. They can go somewhere else and sit around at Starbucks and work on their homework if they want to.
So this is this is kind of an immersion type course where you're meeting three solid days then.
I'm hoping to involve them in learning off site as well as in their face to face. So so using some 2.0 tools along the way.
And if you're interested in any of those courses, either at MLC, Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, or Wisconsin Lutheran College, I would suggest going to their website and finding out what is available for you that might be of interest. I know there's a lot of stuff for teachers, and I think we're seeing more and more attention being given to distance learning across the Synod, which is great news. I was on a conference call last week where we talked a little bit more about how to do more of that, even at the high school level. So that's an exciting thing. But those are what I would call maybe today even more of the traditional models. There are a lot of other maybe non-traditional models that you may want to integrate into your summer learning experiences. How about online, ladies? What are you seeing out there that might be worth spending some time on?
Well, I think, you know, right off the bat, if you're looking for technical training, you're going to find a vast amount of it at lynda.com. Lynda.com is kind of the...
With a Y.
That's right, L-Y-N-D-A .com. Kind of the forerunner of all online training. Lynda obviously is a real person, and she must have gotten that domain name a long, long time ago, because you definitely don't find first name domain names that often out on the web. So she's been around for a long time. I looked at their website, just oodles and oodles of training videos, online training library. You can try it out for free. You can try it, get all you want for 1 month for $25. So maybe, you know, that's kind of a gift to yourself for the summer. Just buy a month or two on lynda.com and immerse yourself in some training in areas where, you know, you'd like to expand your knowledge. They've got everything: InDesign, iPhoto, iTunes, Java, cascading style sheets. I mean, you name it, just anything techie, you're going to find it out here. They have all the Microsoft applications. They have classes on podcasting, you know, and on and on. So check out lynda.com for great online technical learning.
Yeah, we've used that service here in the Synod Administration Building. My staff uses it for a number of different things. And I guess one of the neat things about it, first of all, it's very well done. Second, I think the price is pretty reasonable, especially if you're trying to learn something really quickly. As you mentioned, it's only $25 a month, and you can actually do an annual fee too for a little bit cheaper per month. But what's really nice is the levels at which they teach it. They're all the way from just very beginner, you don't know anything about Microsoft Word, to system administration. So it's those that are not as technically proficient, so they're just getting started out, versus somebody who needs to dig a little bit deeper into a certain or very specific technology. So I would highly recommend that as well.
Also, you know, probably one of the core skills that everybody needs and wants to sharpen is just Office skills, Microsoft Office products, Word, Excel, PowerPoint. Microsoft has an awesome training site. Everything's free and just loaded up with resources related to all of their Office tools. And we'll make sure and include a link to that in our show notes. And there are other sites that do similar training and have training also available for OpenOffice products. So if you're an OpenOffice user, you can check out npix.net, which has just screen capture type pictures that walk you through the process of editing Excel files or Word documents or OpenOffice Calc or Writer documents. So very easy to follow and learn some of the core skills on the Microsoft training site or on npix.net. And next up, I had a list, a link that I wanted to share to livemocha.com. So if you're looking for something different, maybe learning a new language, which is important, you know, especially with cultural outreach. We here in Sleepy Eye, we're doing a lot of cross-cultural outreach to Spanish-speaking people. So brushing up on those Spanish skills, a great site to do that is livemocha.com. It's kind of a social language site, and I've been through their Spanish 101 introductory level course there, and what it allows you to do is actually work through you know, vocabulary words, and then at the end of your lesson actually record yourself saying the words, and the social aspect kind of kicks into play there, because native speaking Spanish learners will listen to and evaluate your recordings of your vocabulary and give you feedback on how well you're doing with your Spanish training. And in turn, you're encouraged to listen to people who are trying to learn English. So it's kind of a give and take kind of site, and I think a really neat model, and completely free at livemocha.com.
Beautiful. And we've talked a lot about social networks in the past, and one product or one Web 2.0 app, I guess I would call it an app, is Ning. And there's, Sally, a Classroom 2.0 Ning out there, right?
That's right. Gail and I are both members of the Classroom 2.0 Ning, which is just basically a group of teachers who've kind of banded together in this social setting to share information about using Web 2.0 tools and integrating them into the curriculum. So mm-hmm. a wonderful resource. They're always having lots of seminars and things like that they're posting out to the community. You can ask questions, you can write on each other's wall. It's an interesting place to be in the Classroom 2.0 Ning, and just tons of great information being shared there, lots of real life applications of these Web 2.0 tools in the classroom setting. So great. An excellent opportunity for teachers to get involved and learn something new there.
And there, we'll post a couple other links for a number of different online learning opportunities, one including a link where you can find 200 free online classes to learn almost anything, which mm-hmm. and the web is an amazing thing, isn't it? At this point, if you want to learn something, if you have the desire to do it, you probably have a channel through which to do it. Now, Gail, the last time you were on, we talked about PLNs. Personal mm-hmm. learning networks. Is that something that you maybe would suggest our listeners consider over the summer as well?
Yes, definitely. Speaking from the teacher perspective, I think summer is, again, a time where you have to balance a lot of things. From my perspective, I like to get my own professional growth geared up in the summer, and I also help other groups of people with their professional growth. And then you always have maintaining of equipment and things that you can only do when there's not a lot of people in the building. So I'm continually trying to balance all those things. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a lot of teachers out there in that same type of situation with extra duties and whatnot. And so summer becomes a time when you have to plan when you're going to get that professional development done, or it just won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest that, like you said, there's no shortage of tools. We've been talking about 2.0 tools and other tools, applications that help integrate technology into learning for a long time now, and there's no shortage of them out there. So people are familiar with some. They know if they get on Twitter or some of the social networks, they'll be hearing more and more of them. There are so many sites that have picks of the day with educational tools. There's no problem there, but the problem is trying to balance them all and collect them all, sort through them, see if you think they're valuable to you or not, and if you want to organize them in a way that will be useful for you. So what I would suggest is people take a look at websites. Well, the one that you'll probably recognize, iGoogle, just the small case I and then Google, mm-hmm. iGoogle.com. And then my favorite is actually one called Page Flakes, just like snowflakes, only PageFlakes.com. And what these types of applications are for is helping you organize. For example, you can pull in all your RSS feeds to that page. You can pull in well, anything you want. They have little apps that you can search for. You have your calendar, my Google Calendar, I pull in through there. You can pull in email through there. You can pull in Twitter through there. So it's kind of a collecting point for all the things. You can put a little cool digital clock on there if you want. There's all kinds of little fun things. You can get the NFL football draft results as they happen coming through an app that's beginning on one of these weekends here. You know, just anything you want that you you use a lot. So.
So it's like a personal learning dashboard, as it were.
Right.
So you've got one view of all your stuff.
Right. You put all your stuff, and I set that as my home page then. Mm-hmm. So that's what I work off of every single day. I open up my page flake, so that's always open on my desktop and everywhere I want to go, except, I mean, there's some things in my bookmarks and such, in Diego and whatever. You can actually bring bookmarks in through there if you want to. I choose not to. But iGoogle is very, very easy to start up. PageFlex is too, but I think iGoogle is actually a little easier to start. And the neat thing about iGoogle is it gives you an opportunity to make more than one. So you have a toggle switch on the side where you can have a home or a work, or you know, you can make several sets of these, or depending, maybe it's your fun set and your work set or whatever, you know. So. I think it's a good way to organize. And it took a long time for me. Honestly, it took a long time to get that thing pulled together to make it. And I'm constantly changing it. But once I got to that point, I just felt so much more able to be efficient in my everyday learning. Not only, you know, my long-range plan learning, but my everyday stuff.
You know, I think it's great to have a place to pull together. That's kind of the beginning of a personal learning network, being able to read things across a lot of different communication channels and things.
And
so definitely a good starting point. But I'd also encourage our listeners to become part of the conversation. You know, start commenting on those things that you find interesting. And beyond that, start blogging or tweeting or something like that. To get into the conversation. And, you know, I've always found, I'm sure the teachers and the pastors in our audience would agree, that if you have to teach something, if you have to communicate something, you have to learn it a whole lot better yourself before you do that communication. And so, you know, just becoming part of the conversation kind of forces your hand into the learning game, you know, being up on your topic or whatever that you want to comment on. So I encourage you to join the conversation and send us a link to your blog or your Twitter account so we can follow you as well.
Yeah, don't be a lurker.
Right. That's right.
And then maybe close the conversation on our summer learning conversation about some things that maybe are more traditional, like reading a book. there are some great books out there that I try and tag. I've mentioned Goodreads before. That's a place where I kind of store the things that I want to put on my reading list, and you can get some reviews from people who've actually read these books. One book that I would recommend, especially for teachers, and I recommended this to other teachers already, is a book by Malcolm Gladwell called Outliers. I didn't know what to expect. Malcolm Gladwell writes for The New Yorker and has written all kinds of books. And he's kind of a researcher slash author slash columnist. And, you know, sometimes he's a little Pollyannish in his approach to how the world works. But I think in the case of some of these books, especially Outliers, takes a very reasoned look at learning and how students learn and how people ultimately become outliers, people who are out of the norm, people who do astounding things. And he makes some interesting hypotheses about why some people succeed and why others are kind of middle-of-the-road types and others fail. And I think there's some real validity in some of the things he talks about. I think for teachers it would be a great read as they think about maybe why some students excel and some don't. Puts a lot of stock in when you were born. If you are just making it into the class that you're in, for instance, the cutoff date is a day before your birthday, or you're held back, or whatever. I think it's a A very insightful book and probably a great read for any teacher this summer.
Well, I was just going to say I was reading a review and it talked about how great hockey players were all born between January and March because the size of their body, they got a lot of extra play time because of when the season fell and, you know, the fact that they were on the upper end of the scale and that kind of thing. So it is interesting to kind of
it self-perpetuates is his point where if somebody gets into the higher class league because their body has developed a little bit further than the child who's 8 months younger. They get better competition, they get better coaching, and therefore they become a better hockey player. And not a lot of people associate that with just the simple time that you were born. So very interesting. Talks about all year-long school and how that makes a difference for some students. And I think it's a great read, so put it on your list.
I wanted to go back to the idea of, we mentioned getting ready and planning early. One advantage of planning early is sometimes you get a price break on things when you attend things, you know, professional things. And I have a great conference to recommend, and they have extended the early registration to May 15th at this point. The Stevens Group is a group out of, Tammy Stevens, the founder, is actually from California. She spends a lot of time in Wisconsin and all over the country actually building her company, which has just now been recognized by the Ford Foundation. So she's really moving up there and getting some good backing and resources that works with her group. Anyway, she is the one that has started this Milwaukee Digital Media Conference. And I've been fortunate enough to attend this for the past 2 years. The first year we worked out of the museum in Milwaukee and the second year out of the zoo. And what it is 4 days of collaborating with other teachers. You learn a lot of skills and software, but most of your time is spent actually working with people creating things. Like this summer we're going to be working with endangered species, and again we're at the zoo. Next summer it's going to be at the art museum in Milwaukee. I'm really excited about that. But anyway, it is still open. The registration for that is open till May 5th, or the cheap way in is open up to the 15th. This is held at the end of July, and there is a link in the show notes to get the particular 4 days there that are available. I would highly, highly recommend this. This is where you actually, as a teacher, get to, in a sense, be the student. You work in a inquiry or a project-based environment, which is what we're trying to create for the students and get them to do more thinking and creating. So you actually are doing these things. So when you do them yourself, you get a vision for how you can bring this into the classroom a lot better than when you just read about it or have somebody tell you about it. You can take it for 3 credits or you can take it just to take it. But it's well worth it. I highly recommend that as a summer learning activity.
Very good. So if you live in Wisconsin, that would be something that maybe you would want to check into and can travel to Milwaukee and take advantage of that.
Yeah. We have people from all over that come.
Great. Wonderful.
Yep.
Anything else from you, Sally, on the topic?
Nope, I think we've given them lots to think on, so it's exciting to plan out your summer of learning, and hopefully everybody will take up the challenge and come up with some new ideas this summer.
Very good. Let's cue up our interview, part two, with singer, songwriter, Wells member Mike Wessendorf. If you listened to last week's show, you heard the first part of a wonderful conversation we had with Mike about his music career and what he is passionate about. And it's not necessarily just music. It's sharing God's word with those who do not know it. And he's using his voice and his musical talents to do that. So let's listen to part two of our interview with Mike Wessendorf.
So I use it to kind of at this point either let people know what's going on, or my hope is to throw out there if something hits me, and it's just a thought, you know, it comes to, you know, watch the sunset today, and you know, you awe at the beauty of things, even in the chaotic world around us, just to be able to say something like that. Or maybe it's something that's happened in your life and it's just, it just hits you. You can put it out there and say, hey, what do you guys think?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where the blog has come up, you know, the now blog programs that are out there. The ability to put comments after that users can put comments
right.
after something you write. You're bringing them into the conversation, and that's where I think some of the ministry can be. It doesn't need to be a lecture all the time on here's what everybody's doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, this is something that's been on my heart. What do you guys think?
It should be, yeah. It should be more introspective, you know, where people are thinking, how has God worked in my life today? What has He impressed on my heart? And I think that's definitely a very positive use. And as people get engaged with that, then you get some meaningful conversations going on.
Yeah, and you really get to find out where people are. And I think that's one of the criticisms of people from the outside looking in at the church, is that we're just not real people.
Right.
You know, we're a bunch of hypocrites, which most of us will readily admit to.
Mm-hmm.
We need Jesus just as bad as everybody else. But, you know, we do dress up, and we do have this formality, and we do bring, you know, we try to bring our best into our worship, and the outside world doesn't understand it, and then they put that kind of stereotype on at the moment you say you're Christian. Well, in this internet space, you are able to share more of the real part of you, and you can get a chance to listen to where they are at. And I'll be honest, in the 5 years I've been doing that, this has probably been the biggest thing, is that it's taught me to listen and to not just jump into a judgment about where they're coming from, but to listen. And so many of them really just want, I think that they are looking for what we have, especially in the wells, that word, that reassurance, and quite frankly, even the walls, it's kind of like the kid, you know, there are limits, there are expectations, there are absolutes, but how can we be real to them? How can we do a better job of listening and communicating to them? And that's where this internet space, it can be a good thing if you use it well.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like great advice, not just for independent artists, but for all Christians and for all ministry efforts. You know, our churches and schools could certainly learn from that same mentality, basically, putting that to practice.
Absolutely. And you had said in an email, you know, some of the technology that is out there. And I will say that probably 95% of our church websites, and you know, we're wasting opportunity here, and actually communicates a negative message to the people who are looking.
Mm-hmm.
Your website, you know, as an artist, the biggest thing is keeping your content fresh. You know, keep your content fresh, keep it coming. Because it's just a very important thing to be able to do. When you're looking through a church's website and you still see stuff from Advent of 2007, what does that say, you know, in this day and age? You know, we're dropping a ball. And there's a certain amount of credibility that can come with it. So, you know, these tools like a Facebook, you know, get your congregational members, you know, you know, if they're using Facebook, have the church have one that's out there. Because what it's going to do is, even if you should also have somebody, by the way, who can administer this. Honestly, and I know you guys deal with this because it's technology, but it's really getting more and more important, I think, for our churches to have technology officers, and to not see that as a nuts and bolts, let's just make sure that this is done, but to actually see it as a vibrant part of your ministry.
It's a part of your strategy, right?
Yeah. You are creating. Every time you do a sermon, every time you do a service, every time you do an event, you are creating consumable, you know, a consumable quantity or entity. And those are the kinds of things that can, if you use it well, can really speak to people, communicate something to people. I want to go learn more about that church. But when they see that there's stuff from 2008, 2007, I've seen a couple of 2006, mm-hmm. you know, you're missing an opportunity, and you're not only missing an opportunity, it's actually a drag if you're not able to find a better way to use it and see that technology as a ministry opportunity.
Mm-hmm. So as we try and wrap up here, Mike, the I know there are probably some young musicians out there wondering, well, should I, shouldn't I, where do I start? If you could give them maybe the three-step approach to things to think about, what would you advise somebody just considering getting into this business?
The biggest thing that God has taught me through this is that you need to serve with the gift he gave you and do it with excellence. You need to be a good listener. You need to be teachable. Otherwise, it makes it very hard to serve other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so from a Christian artist, and I really would like to see some of our younger people, and quite frankly, even some of our older people who have, you know, they grew up playing guitar in the 60s and 70s.
Sure.
You know, they have a lot to say, and some of them, you know, they need that encouragement. But anybody who's looking into this artist ministry, and if I can throw out there that I do believe it's important, artist ministry is different than praise band.
Mm-hmm.
Artist ministry is different than having a praise band. And I'm praying that we won't do what has historically kind of been something in our church body anyways, is that, well, we already have that. We don't need that. We have a school. We don't need to work with you. We have this. We don't need to. We have a praise band. Your artist ministry really doesn't. Artists are a little different, and really the musicianary term, mm-hmm. music and mission threw together. That's, in my opinion, that's the ideal Christian artist, is when you get that. And so for the people who are starting out, get help.
Is there a network that they can tap into? Do you network with other Wells musicians, for instance?
I do have. There's only about 6 to 10 of us that I know of.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you. I mean, we play Michael Schrader's music all the
yep.
time on the show, and I don't know if you interface with him or others. But yeah, you're right. There are not that many.
There aren't that many, and one of the most valuable resources. It's not a Wells resource, but it's a ministry called IndieHeaven.com, and you'll see that link on my website as well. The thing I appreciate about what Keith, who is the president, that has done is he has put serve Jesus with what he's given you. Get off the ego trip. Pride mm-hmm. Records is always looking to sign artists.
Yep.
If nobody got that, Pride Records.
Yep.
Always looking to sign you.
Yep.
You know. And I have learned a lot because you're able to learn from some of the mistakes of other people and to be challenged in especially the excellence quotient mm-hmm. part of things.
Right.
So when you're considering should I or should I not do this, find ways to be able to start local, to bloom where you're planted. So if you're working with a church or in a church, work with the church to be able to see if you can use your skills. Not all of our churches are as accommodating to that as they might otherwise be. Otherwise, you can maybe look to some of the other artists who are out here, like myself or Wendy Sue or Mike Schrader, Mike Armstrong, and
right.
And be able to perhaps learn from them. Go and see some of the people who you've looked at and who have done a good job of serving people through their music. And try to learn and take in as much as you possibly can. So develop your foundation first. And that means, too, by the way, your ability to play music live. Mm-hmm. A lot of people can do it in their bedroom, but you put it in front of somebody, it gets a little different.
Yep.
You know? And there's a lot to what we do in this, but it's not insurmountable. And I will say that it is important for you to have support outside of, you know, your family, which your family will always support you, and even some of your most diehard fans. But having people come alongside who believe in you and pray about this with you, or pray over you, pray with you about this. One of the things I've learned in this is that God will, when he wants you to move to the next level, it's not going to be anything you do. He's going to bring somebody in to your life who is going to challenge you to the next level and who's going to show you the way. The last part I'll say for this is 1 Peter 4, verse 7 through 11 has been my ministry theme, if you will. And as an artist, I think that it's probably one of the most important places to start. That's all right. I'll finish off, and I'll just read this out here real quick as soon as it comes up on my computer, which, by the way, BibleGateway.com, very good
yeah.
resource. But from an artist standpoint, this is one of the things that if I get down about not being able to get an event put together, or just get discouraged, or when you're flying high and all the stars aligned and God just blessed you with a great event, it's always good to come back to this. And Peter, remembering who he is, and this is the end of his life, and all the ups and downs he's gone through, he, by the Holy Spirit, has the strength to write, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." And for music, it's part of it. "If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, the power forever and ever. Amen."
Very good, Mike. How can people get in contact with you on the web and on Twitter?
Yep. MikeWestendorf.com is kind of the central place. You can branch off and hit me at Indie Heaven or Facebook or Twitter from there. My email is simply mike@mikewestendorf.com as well, and my cell phone information is there as well. And I am interested in talking to some of our new generation artists, and I'm also interested in talking with our churches a bit more about partnering with what my ministry is doing in the future. One of them is going to be the idea of Share the Hope, and how can we work together as a church to actually serve our community through a benefit, through a fundraiser, whatever the case may be, do something together that we can give away to the glory of God. And I would love to talk with our younger artists about that mindset. And if you can start there, God will take you. He'll open the doors that he sees fit.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you for your willingness to, first of all, talk with us, and sounds like your wonderful willingness to help anybody else out that would want to get into this wonderful ministry that I would love to see grow within the Wells. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate the opportunity to share it.
Again, many, many thanks to Mike, and certainly we would continue to keep Mike and his ministry in our prayers.
Yeah, I love that term that he used, musicianary. I think that's awesome, and right. I really wish him the best with his work.
Yep. All right, up next, our picks of the week. Gail, you're kind of a guest, I guess, still. Right? So we'll let you go first. What is your pick of the week, Gail?
I don't even feel like a guest anymore, Mark.
Okay. Then Sally, go ahead.
I got a pick that people will be happy about using in schools, in Bible classes, at home, because all of us, I believe, use YouTube. And there are many alternatives to YouTube. Some people don't especially appreciate some of the movies that are put on there. And even when you're watching a valuable, useful movie, some of the stuff around the edges may not be what you want people to see. So my pick of the week is QuietTube, and it's spelled just like it sounds, except it has only one T. And what QuietTube is, you go to the site, quiettube.com, and you just download a little piece of software. You don't see it on your computer, but you put a little bookmark up there for yourself. And then when you go to watch a movie on YouTube, you simply go, you pull up the movie you want to see, you go up and click on QuietTube, and all of the stuff disappears except for the movie. You just see the movie, don't see any of the junk around the edges. You can have your choice of white black background, white background, very clean, very nice looking. So it's a nice safe way to show these things at home with your kids. Wherever.
Is this a browser add-on, or is this something in the operating system?
I knew you were going to ask me that, Martin. I don't know. I don't think it's an add-on. I don't remember going up to getting it in the add-ons. I think it was just a little plug-in thing that came. You just had to download this little piece.
I would suspect it's got to be browser-based. It can't be operating system-based. Because you're running a Mac, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and you're probably running it in Firefox. So I would suspect it's something that works with Firefox. Maybe and if you're interested, QuietTube, QuietTube.com would be something to check out.
And I think you can also go to the site and just paste in a YouTube URL. You don't have to have a browser plugin, installed. Okay. At least on the Windows side, that's what I did. Mm-hmm. Just paste
what
in
did you
a
do?
URL. I just pasted in a YouTube URL, and it gave me a URL, to the QuietTube basically.
Okay.
So there's probably multiple ways you can use it. I think I'll put a link in the show notes to one of the most recent YouTube Phenomenon videos, and we can see how it looks in QuietTube. Have you guys watched Susan Boyle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the whole world has. So we'll test out QuietTube with a link to Susan Boyle's video.
I've heard some disparaging remarks about that whole thing, that it was a big setup, that she had done some professional singing before, and they frumped her up. And I don't know how true all that stuff is, but that'd be too bad. It's such a success story, but that's TV, too. So don't want to burst anybody's bubble. But all right, Sally, what's your pick of the week?
All right, mine's with the teachers in mind this week, and I found a website called Novell Games, and it's a game site. It has a wide variety of Flash-based games on the webpage, but what's different about this site is that they have a page with over 160 of these games where you can actually grab embed code and put them on your own website, so that you can integrate them with your own maybe a website that you're building for the kids of your congregation or school to have a safe place to surf and play games on the internet. And I did a little experiment with our school computer club after school last week and had them go out and just check out the site and pick their favorite games, and then we embedded them on our own site. So they went through the process of evaluating the games, and there's a wide variety, and a lot of them have a lot of logic behind them, and so it's not just kind of brainless gameplay, but a lot of cool games out there, and they really like the power of picking their favorites, and they kind of race to see who would pick which ones first, and that one's already taken, I got to pick a different one, and that kind of thing. And so we had a lot of fun with it and created a custom game site on our school webpage, and it was all through this Novell Games and the Flash embedding that's available there. So you'll want to check that out if you're in charge of your church or school website.
Beautiful. Thank you. Well, my pick is probably the oldest piece of technology that I've ever recommended on this show. It had its beginnings in 1988, and that in technology years is actually ancient. It's IRC, stands for Internet Relay Chat. I've had a lot of questions recently from congregations and schools about wanting to set up chat rooms for different activities, sometimes for Bible study, sometimes for just general conversation. And as everybody knows, there's instant messengers galore out there that kind of do the same thing, where you can grab a number of different people and bring them into MSN or AIM or Yahoo or any of those things. But IRC is a very stable, very mature, free technology that I think would work well. A lot of the requests that I'm getting are for, we want to embed this on our website so people can come in, add their own username, and start chatting in a chat room. And IRC is perfect for that. Anybody can open up an IRC chat. It's a little geeky, so you have to do a little bit of reading as to how to log into a network. Basically, the IRC network claims, this is according to Wikipedia, claims they've got about 500,000 chatters at any one time over about 100 IRC networks. And it's basically an IRC server that is a network, and then you have channels on it. You can have many, many, many channels. And then you have software that's sitting on your computer that's the client. But what's great about IRC is there's web-based clients that you can embed using iframe or something like that on your website that would allow you to have that chat going on right in a window
on your website. People just need to go to the website, enter their whatever username they want, click the join button, and they're chatting. So there's no download, no nothing. One piece of software that allows you to do that is something called Mibbit, M-I-B-B-I-T. I've set up a sample, if anybody would like to see that. I've set up a Wells chat room on our WellsTech site. So if you just go to our site, and then I don't have a link to it but we'll put a link to it. Probably in the show notes would be okay, Sally, I'd assume. Wells-chat is the page that I created there. It's kind of
hidden.
Actually,
there is a link to it under additional resources in the sidebar.
Ah, okay. Beautiful.
So you didn't know you did that.
I didn't know
that.
I did that. Still new at this technology thing. Click on the link. Join. I don't know if anybody will be in there. I'll keep it open this week. And if you want to chat with me, go ahead. And if I'm available, I'll chat back. But click on that link, and you can kind of see how it all works. But it has all kinds of features. You can have private chats, moderated chats. You can do direct messaging. You can boot people off. You can ban people if you need to. I think there's a lot of potential here for those that want to do real-time chatting at no cost. In fact, we're going to, in the new Wells.net world, we're going to be using IRC chat rooms instead of the paid services that we've had in the past. So a technology worth checking out. Many of our listeners maybe are well aware of IRC. It's really heavy in the technology industry. There's IRC rooms around almost any topic out there right now. So we'll put a couple links to in the show notes as to how to get involved with IRC, or just do a search in Google, and you'll find much, much more information about it.
I'm out there chatting right now by myself. I can write in red and put smiley faces. So
there you go.
I'm a happy girl. Cool stuff, Martin.
Very good. So, all right, let's move right along. We want to remind people about our Desert Island contest, right, Sally?
That's right. The entries are rolling in, and we don't want you to be left out of the fun. We are looking for your top five Desert Island software picks. So those things that you just wouldn't want to live without if you were stranded on a desert island. These can be free or fee-based software, and they can be on your desktop or out in the cloud. You know, we're not picky. We just want to know what it is that makes you productive in what you're trying to do with your computer and the applications that are your favorite, basically. You can send us those picks any way you choose. You can email us at wellstech@wells.net, leave us a voicemail, send it to us via Twitter, right on the Facebook wall, whatever you choose, and we'll get your entries into the pot. And on April 29th, which is coming up in just
April 26th,
one week,
isn't it?
Nope, sorry. The entry deadline is April 26th.
26th, right.
And then the show that we'll be recording for April 29th is when we're going to go over all of those entries and announce the winner of the contest. And Martin, you want to tell them what kind of fabulous prize they're going to win?
You will win a fabulous $25 gift certificate to the WellsTech store at, what's the URL again? WellsTech.
It's CafePress.com.
I always get that wrong. CafePress.com/WellsTech.
There you go.
So if you want to do a little pre-planning, if you think you might be a winner, go out to the store, and you can certainly purchase something there too. But $25 gift certificate, get your favorite T-shirt, WellsTech memorabilia. I've got a clock on my wall. Sally, you've got a bunch of stuff, right?
I got a tote bag, and my husband wears our famous T-shirt. So.
And I thought, you gave a baby bib to somebody, didn't you?
That's right. World's most unique baby gift.
That's right.
That's what we do at the Senate Administration Building. We give each other WellsTech baby bibs.
All righty.
Fun stuff.
So join soon before midnight on Sunday.
That's right. Time's running out. We want your entries. So.
We'd love to hear from you. And we did hear from a lot of people this past week in our community feedback section. Let's go down the list.
Okay. Starting with a Twitter link that I found really interesting, kind of ties in with a YouTube discussion earlier. Jason Schmidt from Gethsemane in Omaha, Nebraska, shared a link to CaptionTube, which is a way to add subtitles or closed captioning to videos that are uploaded to YouTube. So last week we talked about another captioning service completely separate from YouTube. This one actually integrates with YouTube videos. So if you want to check that out, we'll have a link in our show notes to CaptionTube.
And speaking of captioning...
That's right. You guys should associate captioning with our listener, John Shoesmith, out at Redeemer in Yakima, Washington. John kind of has paved the way for Wells in the area of captioning sermons and is getting just amazing results and viewership from those captioned sermons. And John wrote to us this week to say that he did try out .sub.com. He's working on captioning their Easter sermon using that tool. And what's exciting is YouTube has a video length of 10 minutes. That's the maximum that they'll allow. So if you're going to do a sermon, typically sermons last longer than 10 minutes. Haven't found a pastor that likes to preach less than 10 minutes yet. And so you're going to have to break up your video or something to make it work on a YouTube type platform. But with .sub.com, their maximum file size is 300 megabytes. There's no time length that it maxes out at. So that's big enough for John to upload their Easter sermon, and he's working on captioning it there. So hopefully we'll be able to share a link to that and give it a, you know, basically a beta test with John doing that work and sharing it with us.
So what you're saying, Sally, is that our pastors can preach under 300 megabytes?
Yes, that's right.
That's a limit they can live with?
Okay. I think so. All right. Told me their Easter sermon in Washington was 130 meg, so there's still lots of room there.
All right.
So John's also been busy out on the Wells Tech Wiki. Actually, we've seen a lot of updates out on the Wiki, and John's added a brand new page of videotaping guide. It's really interesting where he's looking at different camera angles, different lighting issues and things like that. And he's actually got screenshots from different videotapes with comments so that people can learn what not to do, basically. And we welcome you editing that out on the Wells Tech Wiki. It's open to anyone making changes and updates to it, so we'd love to learn from your videotaping experience as well. And we'll have a link to that specific page in the show notes.
And that's I'm excited to see the growth of our WellsTechWiki.wells.net site. I think that will be a wonderful resource for anybody looking for information about technology issues, certainly as they relate to ministry. And I'm pointing more and more people to the good stuff that's out there. So please go there, use it, and contribute to it. In fact, we've been trying to capture some other things that haven't come directly to the Wiki and pasting them up there as well for all to see. Some of our listserv discussions we've actually ported over there. We've had great conversation on the listserv about Linux and Windows, and which might serve best in whatever situation, whether you're in a church or a school. We had an Office Suite software conversation, server software. All of those we put up there, and we would want to add to that. I think those are great resources to use.
That's right. In addition, there's been discussion about calendaring software and also discussion about our iTunes page, mm-hmm. which is out there, you know, for people to access congregations that are posting things in iTunes. So lots of activity on the Wiki. And like you said, I hope to see it continue to grow, because I think this online archive location is going to be a powerful tool for all of us to make use of.
Absolutely.
And other discussion on the listserv, our WellStick listserv, which is our email group. There's been discussion about Moodle software, which is open source free software for online learning. And also, Martin, you put out a call for congregations to submit technology plans. I'm wondering if you got any response.
I got zilch. So
yeah, I'm guessing that means that congregations don't have technology plans.
And that's enlightening, too. So. I'll give a shout out here too, that I really would love to see if anybody's even got outlines or different concepts that they're working through in some kind of formal way. If you've got a committee that's working on outreach through technology, all that stuff, I would love to collect. I'm doing a workshop over the next year that I'm presenting at a number of locations, and it's going to actually be across the country. I'm not doing all of them. Different people will be doing the presenting, but I'm writing the material, and I would love to provide some examples for that. So it's never too late to send that in, or if you know of somebody doing good stuff, let me know.
Well, just wait till our class this summer, Martin. We'll be learning all there is to know about technology plans, so we'll send you some good ones.
Good. Well, I don't have any shortage right now of classroom school technology plans.
Oh, you're just talking the church side.
I'm looking for church, yeah, people that need to put that together.
Well, we're going to talk about doing them together, so.
Oh, beautiful. Okay.
All right. Last comment that I wanted to share with you guys is from Brian Priest, who wrote to say that he's been listening to a lot of our podcast, but he hasn't seen any content on church member database software. And he pointed out that he had found something online. It's a Linux-based software, free for download, and it's at churchdb.org. It's actually called Church Info. And he says there's not a lot of documentation, but it's PHP and MySQL-based. Customizations aren't hard to do, and his congregation's using it, and a few others are interested. So I do believe we have talked about this before when we had Linux discussion early on in the podcast, and I'll do some digging and hopefully find some other resources related to church management systems. But I know we've talked about Shepherd Staff, which is one that the Synod has partnered with through Concordia Technology Solutions, and we actually had
Brad Whelan.
The vendor, Brad. Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember Brad's first name. Okay, and he was one of our early interviews about Shepherd Staff. So we'll definitely include some additional links related to church management systems.
On that, I just got an email from Brad last week advertising the fact that Shepherd Staff Small Church Edition, they call it SCE, Small Church Edition, is going on sale till the end of May for $150 less than it normally sells for. So normally it's $499. Any church can get it for $349. And I'm assuming that our 10% discount also applies to that. So if you are a small church, and I believe their designation of a small church is 150 family units or less, member family units, which is a great deal for a lot of our mission congregations because they are under that cap. So for $349 or less, they can get some awesome software, church management software. You can have unlimited prospects in that particular thing. So you don't have to live within that 150-unit limitation. That's only for member units or member families. But you can have unlimited prospects. So this is a great deal.
It is a great deal. And great software, very powerful.
Yeah, you guys
tool.
Use it there. We use it at our church.
Mm-hmm.
Gail, what are you using up there? Do you know?
We use ACS.
Ah, you're one of those guys that can afford the mm-hmm. best and the brightest technology.
I don't know about
I don't know
that.
If it's best, because actually I reviewed it. I actually prefer Shepherd Staff, but it's a lot more expensive. But it is a little bit more robust. It has some integration with different modules. I know for mm-hmm. schools and such, so I think that's why
Which
it's attractive
to some.
Which
we aren't using that part of it. So,
ah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we should look at Shepherd Staff, absolutely.
Yes, mm-hmm. we do.
So maybe we'll have Brad. We should have Brad back on and talk about their product and some of the improvements they've made because they've got great software.
Definitely. All right. Well, I think that's it for our community feedback for this week. But
keep it coming, yeah.
Yeah. Everyone to keep talking to us. We love it.
Join the conversation. So up next week, as Sally already announced, the much-anticipated contest results show. Sally and I will take a deeper look at some of our favorite products that you've recommended. So we've got some homework to do, Sally. We've got to take a look at some of these things we've never heard of, and there are some things we've never heard of, which is exactly what we're looking for. We want new ideas, things that we can perhaps link to ministry, and that's the point of the contest.
Yep.
And
a lot to learn there.
Yep. And just a reminder, actually, we haven't announced this yet, but due to my schedule, and I guess it's mostly my schedule, I'll actually be up in New Ulm for Monday and Tuesday, and we normally record the show on Tuesday. So we're actually going to record the show on Wednesday morning. So the show will be out a little bit later than it normally is. I think normally it's out by 3 or 4 or 5 o'clock something on Wednesday morning. We will be recording the show at 8 a.m. on Wednesday. So look for the show a little bit later on Wednesday. And you will want to tune in because you'll want to know if you won the fabulous Wells Tech gift store certificate.
That's right. So get those entries in by this Sunday.
All right. All right. Let's close the show as we always do with one of our favorite Wells. They're all our favorite Wells artists, but I've seen Michael Schrader perform before. Just a wonder. If you ever get a chance to watch him perform, just does a wonderful job. We're going to listen to his song called The One from his album Fuel for the Soul. Once again, thanks everybody for joining us. We hope you tune in next week. Bye-bye.
Hundreds of prophecies say the Savior would come, for each one to be complete, the odds were millions to one. Not just any man who could begin to fill them all, only God could give. Save myself beyond death.